Okay, let's learn. Okay. I think I got it. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. Okay. Let's continue. Okay, last week we learned about Birchus HaShachar. I think today is going to be the last year of Birchus HaShachar. Last week we tried to match up the 18 brachos of Birchus HaShachar, the 18 brachos of Shemona Esrei. I had a very hard time trying to do research on this. I was not very successful. The more I studied, the more I came to realize that the number 18 is not so simple. It's not so simple to find exactly 18 blessings in the Birchus HaShachar. We have 15, but even the 15 are not so simple. In other words, the reason why I say that is because among the 15, there are questions as to how many blessings there really are. In other words, there are some sidurim that have an additional two blessings. The Baruch Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Soimech Noiflim. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Mashpil Geim. Okay, there are other nuschos, so it's not exactly so simple how we come to the exact calculation of how many blessings we get on Birchus HaShachar. Furthermore, there's a very big debate in the very last bracha when we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Mavir Sheina Meinoi Usnuma Me'af Apoi. Do we stop there? Do we answer Amen? Or do we do like most of us do in Shul? We do not answer Amen, and we consider the Vehi Ratzoin to be a continuation. However, some hold that you should answer Amen, Hamavir Sheina Meinoi Usnuma Me'af Apoi, and you answer Amen, and then the Vehi Ratzoin is a separate bracha. So Sach HaKol, everything really, there's a lot up in the air exactly as to the calculation of the bracha. So let's put that aside. The one thing I very much do believe, I believe there's a lot of truth in this point, and we discussed it really in the past, and that is all of the brachas that we have the custom to say, the one that stands out the most is the bracha of Hanosein La Yo'ev Koyach. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, you grant Hanosein, you grant La Yo'ev to the weak strength. This bracha is clearly in addition to the blessings that we have from the time of the Gemara. In the time of the Gemara, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, they did not make this blessing. This blessing was not present. Now, what we did in the past, I told you all about Ashkenazi. Ashkenazi was a goyin, Sheba Goyinim. He was a Lubavitcher Chosid, a loyal servant of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, of Lubavitch, loyal to the dynasty of the Lubavitch Rebbes, and he was an incredible Talmud Chacham, and he had a beautiful, beautiful idea. We're not going to go over this now, where he said that the bracha Asher Nosa Lasech, that the bracha Hanosein La Yo'ev Koyach was added into the Siddur at exactly the same time when the Ge'onim instructed Klal Yisrael that they should no longer make the bracha of Elokai Nishama when they wake up in the morning. It used to be, when a person woke up in the morning, the very first thing he would do was to say the bracha, Elokai Nishama Shenasat Bi Tehoira, Hi Atah V'Rasah Toh Yitzar Toh V'chulu V'chulu, and they would make that bracha. Along came the Anshei, and they never heard. He would say to the people living in this time, the Nusach Moideh Ani L'Fanecha Melchai V'Kayyam Shechazarta Bi Nishmasi V'Chemla, they would look at you and they would say, I never heard this before. Who made up this nusach? It's not exactly what it says in the Lekai Neshama. It's similar, but it's not exactly the same. So along came the Ge'onim, which was about 1,000 years ago, and they instructed Klal Yisrael, they should stop saying the bracha of Elokai Neshama, because our hands are not clean. In the middle of the night, we touch parts of our body which are not appropriate, and we no longer are permitted to say the bracha of Elokai Nishama. Instead, we should say they crafted a new nusach called Modeh Ani Lefanecha, and that should be said in this place. The Ge'onim decided, being that they have weakened the bracha of Elokai Nishama to correspond, to be mechazek, the gap, the void in not saying Elokai Nishama in the proper time, is to instead, is they added the bracha of Hanosein la yo'ef koyach. Okay, that's a very brilliant idea. I think it's an original idea. He suggests that these two brachos, this historical event, was the trigger for Chazal to invent, to not Chazal, it's the Goinim, for them to add into the Nusach HaTfilah a new bracha of Hanosein la yo'ef koyach. I want to suggest to you another idea. Okay, obviously, I'm not right to do this, but I just want to make an observation. Last week, we spent so much time trying to create a parallel between the 18 blessings of the Shemoneh Esrei, and the 18, there are supposedly 18 blessings of Birchas HaShachar. There are 18 blessings in Birchas HaShachar. But the truth is, there are not 18 blessings in Shemoneh Esrei. There are 19 blessings in Shemoneh Esrei. An additional bracha was inserted into the Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei by Shmuel HaKatan at the request of the Chachamim, because they realized that if we continue down the same path that we've been going until now, we will no longer be in existence. We will cease to exist because of the Mishumadim. V'lam Mishumadim al tehi sikra. Okay, the Mishumadim, or what we say in our Nusach, V'lam al shinim, the slanderers, were Jews who were troublemakers, apostates. They were causing enormous trouble for Klal Yisrael. They knew too much, and they would undermine us by being malshin to us, to the government, and they made a lot of trouble. And with these people hanging around, we did not stand a chance. Therefore, with great pain and difficulty, they decided that it's necessary to pray to Hashem that these people should be eliminated. And they called upon Shmuel HaKatan in his great humility to compose a bracha that would be inserted into the Shemoneh Esrei for all generations, that would be said by members of Klal Yisrael to pray. It's a very sad bracha. We're basically praying that Hashem should eliminate our own. It's a shocking bracha. The prayer that Hashem should eliminate our own people. I, in fact, over here, I have here in front of me, Siddur Vilna. You see the picture on the screen? The Siddur Vilna? This Siddur, my mother once told me I should take out of the house. She does not want the Siddur in the house. I should remove it from the house. I didn't listen to her. It's still here, the Siddur Vilna. She got very upset. I heard that of Aaron Schacht and Chaim Berlin, he instructed, when they told him some Lashon Hara about the Siddur, they told him, he instructed them, they shouldn't take it out. They can keep it. They keep it on the shelves, but they should not buy any more of them. Why? Because the person who put out the Siddur, the people who put out the Siddur are the Neturei Karta. You know that Chevra? The Neturei Karta that makes a lot of trouble for us? Things they do, terrible, terrible things. Some will tell you have a bit of a roidef. They have bigger problems now, but they've really damaged us very, very much. They put out the Siddur. Okay, they're the ones who put out the Siddur. And I really shouldn't have this. I didn't know that they put it out. I was later informed. But I don't know what to tell you, but it has a lot of stuff here that you can't find anywhere else, that's for sure. There's a lot of stuff here that's very, very, very fascinating. And one of the things they have over here is they have the real bracha. This you can probably find other siddurim. This is probably not unique to this siddur. But here they have the original version. You see they have here on the top, Lam al Shinim. And on the bottom, they have here the real version. Before the censors changed it. V'lam mishumadim. Here we Malchus Zodoin Mehira Sa'aker Usashabir Smagir Sahya Mehav Yamein Burkhat Hashem Shabir Machniya Zaidim. Who is the Malchus? That's the Goyim, but the Lamushumodim are not the Goyim. The Lamushumodim are unfortunately our own. Very interesting. Okay. Any event I want to suggest to you is that just if there is truth, a kernel of truth, that there are 18 blessings in the Shemoneh Esrei, and there are 18 blessings in the Birchos HaShachar, and there is a relationship between the two. Just like there came a point in time where the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah felt it necessary to add an additional blessing to bring it from 18 to 19 because they recognize Niskatnu HaDoros, we are weak. We are weak and we are in danger. Our survival is in danger because unfortunately there are people amongst us who have given up. And not only have they given up, they want everyone else to give up. And they've made trouble and they've damaged our very essence. That's just a reflection of the fact that we're weak. We've lost strength. So zel umazeh, just as it was necessary to add to the Shemayne Esrei, the bracha, v'lam mishum adim, in the 18 blessings that we recite as a hakdama, an introduction to tzvila, which correspond to the 18 blessings of the Shemayne Esrei, the Birchas HaShachar, it also became necessary to add another blessing to correspond to the bracha of Vilam Mishumadim. And what is that bracha? That bracha is Hanoi Sein Layo'ef Koyach. We are weak. It's not just a person is weak. When you go to sleep, you wake up, and you wake up refreshed. That's the Pshutishal Mikra. You give to the weak. At night, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you go to sleep, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock. You're tired. You're oyef, you're weak. And when you wake up the next morning, you are refreshed with strength. The Pshudashal Mikra is describing renewal through sleep. But in the bigger picture, in the bigger picture, it represents that Klal Yisrael is weak. We are weak as time passes and we struggle along in Golos. Our spiritual essence is weakened. We're tired. It's like we're holding now 3 o'clock in the morning in history, and we have not had a nap the whole day. We're exhausted. We're giving out. And we say to Hashem, please, Hanoisein la yo'ef koyach, just give us a little more strength to make it to the finish line, to the time of Geula. Okay, so that's what I'm suggesting. This is Zel Uma Zeh. There are 18 brachos. There are 18 brachos in the Birchos HaShachar. They correspond one to another. How they correspond is not so simple. Exactly what are the 18 blessings in Birchos HaShachar is also not so simple. But there is something very interesting that both the Shemoyne Esrei and the Birchos HaShachar had a later addition. The bracha of Olam Al Shinu was added later into the Shemoyne Esrei. And the bracha of Hanoisein La Yo'ed Koyach was also added later into the Birchos HaShachar. And it's not so far-fetched to say that they correspond one to another. Okay, that is just like an additional type of art to what Rav Ashkenazi explained, that the bracha of Hanoisein La Yo'ed Koyach was added into the Birchos HaShachar in reaction to the takana that a person should no longer say Elokai Neshama. There's also a weakness in Klal Yisrael. They can no longer recite that blessing in the location at the time when it was meant to be recited because of a spiritual weakness, because of maybe a physical weakness. So therefore, in order to counteract that need to change things around, in order to fill in the void, they added another blessing. Let's leave it with that. Now, before we move on to the next topic, next section of davening, we'll see what we'll be next. I just want to spend a couple of more minutes concluding this week with some ideas on the blessings of the Birchos HaShachar. First bracha is Asher Nosam Lasechvi Vina Lahavchin Bein Yoim Uvein Lailo. Why in the world we want to make such a bizarre blessing? Being a blessing you've given to the rooster. A sechvi is a rooster. You've given the rooster the knowledge to be mafkin between yom and laila. Some want to tell us that the word the sechvi means the mind. Now, here's the problem. The problem is if you go out, we live in a society where I couldn't even identify a rooster. Some people like me, they can't tell the difference between a cat and a rooster. They've never seen a rooster, so they don't know what a rooster is. But if we were to identify a rooster, go out into a location where there is no technology, where there are no lights, and there's nothing, we would be very disturbed to discover that the rooster makes noises long before the crack of dawn. In the middle of the night, the rooster begins to make noise. And at that moment in time, there is no Yom and Laila. Here it says, Asher nasla sechel yina lahavchin, to differentiate between the Yom and the Laila. When the sechel is making noises, it's just as dark the moment before and the moment after. So what are you going to see? You're going to see that the sechel has some type of supernatural sense of time and of light, and it can see beyond the horizon. It can see that it's coming. I mean, that's very bizarre, because we don't live. Halacha does not operate in the world of the supernatural. Halacha typically operates in the world of reality, and reality is defined by our perspective. From our perspective, there's this rooster, it's making noises. And you know something? I look at the rooster, 5 minutes before it begins to make noises, it's pitch black dark. 5 minutes after it makes noises, it's pitch black dark. I don't see the difference. Or I should go take out some scientific instruments and start measuring light. That's not the way things go. You don't, Torah does not operate in the world of the supernatural. We live in the world, the natural world. So what's going on here with this rooster? So the answer, one of the answers I came across, a very interesting answer, is that in the time of Chazal, in the time of the Beis Hamidrash Yekayim, and I don't have all the exact details, they would begin to do the Trumas Hadeshen before it got light. I mean, we have to go to the Mishnayos and Masechta Yoma and go through all the details. But without going into all the details, the preparation for the Avoida in the Beis Hamikdash on the new day, which began with the opening of the gates, waking up early in the morning. They would wake up early in the morning when it was still pitch black dark, and they would come with the keys, and they would open the doors, and they would get into position, and then they would climb one up to the roof, and he looked, if he saw a ray of light, and if he saw the ray of light, he would say, Barkoi, Barkoi, I see a ray of light. And then the process began, the avodah began. But in order to get to that point in time, they had to be up in the middle of the night, opening up the doors. The preparations began before the first crack of dawn. The Gemara says, not the Gemara, I didn't prepare adequately, but the Chazal say, exactly when did the Kohanim really begin to go into high gear? When did they actually open the doors? When did the service, the preparation for the Beis HaMikdash begin? It began in the middle of the night when the rooster began to make noise. A rooster, whatever reason, it makes noise in the middle of the night. It has maybe an atomic clock in its head. It's not looking at light. It's not a matter of light. It has a certain sense of, all right, the night is coming to an end. It's not looking for light. It's a certain internal time clock, which we relate to. Person gets up, person that has a built-in, if you really concentrate, when you go to sleep, I want to get up at 6 o'clock. Many people can do that. They don't need an alarm clock. If you put your mind, tomorrow, I want to get up at 6 o'clock. And that's it. You're up at 6 o'clock. Somehow in your mind, you have an internal time clock. And if you train yourself just a little bit, you can decide when you want to get up. And that's when you get up. It's an amazing phenomenon. And the rooster also has some type of internal clock. And in the middle of the night, when it's pitch black dark, it makes noises. And when it makes noises, that is the signal to the people in the Beis HaMikdash to get up, to wake up, not because it's day. It's not yet day. It's not yet light. It's time to start the service in the Beis HaMikdash, to open the doors, to get the key, open the doors. It takes a long time. It's a process. You have to open the doors in a certain sequence. There are many doors to open. And everything, the Kohen has to get up to the top of the Mizbeach with a shovel. They have to have a pious. Who's going to be the one that's going to be honored with Tumas HaDeshen? There's a pious. Everything takes time. Everything takes time. Everything has to go into motion. And then he's standing there with the shovel. And there's a lookout. There's a Kohen that stands in a high location. He looks out and he screams, Bar Koi, I can see a ray of light coming from the east. Oh, now the Avodah begins. But the Avodah doesn't begin, but to get to that matzav where they can say Bar Koi and then he does the Tumas HaDeshen, they first have to be in position way before that. And that preparation begins with the rooster. The rooster is all a hachana between Ben Yom and Ben Laila. It's not the exact moment. Therefore, Chazal, in honor of the rooster, which began the process, the Avodas Hayoyim in the Beis HaMikdash, we make a bracha at that moment in time. It's a beautiful idea. You go to davening. What time is davening? Davening is 7 o'clock. So Mark, he doesn't come 7 o'clock to shul. Mark comes 6:30, and Mark already is up at 6 o'clock. Everything takes time. Got to get up, mitzvos yodayim, get dressed, have everything in order, be mesuder. You're gonna drive. You're gonna walk. Gotta find parking. Gotta walk in early. Yishev adas. And now it's time. 7 o'clock is time to say brachas. You're going to say brachas at 7 o'clock on the dot if you got up at 6 o'clock and you put yourself into motion. Up at 6 o'clock, it's pitch black dark outside. That's right. That's the way the world works. You got to be in the office at 7 o'clock. You got to hustle at 6 o'clock to get there. When does the hustle begin? In the middle of the night. What's the middle of the night? When the rooster crows. The rooster, this is a, people don't know this. The rooster doesn't crow when it's dawn. This is not, Google it. There's no such thing. We think we're brainwashed. Oh, so that means that a rooster, when it sees the crack of dawn, it begins to make noises. Guess what? If you go to Arizona, in the middle of the desert, where there are no lights, there's nothing for miles and miles. Go to Saudi Arabia, middle of these big fields, the desert, and you take out of your bag a rooster. Take out of your bag, hop a rooster and take out of your bag and put it down on the ground. And then sit and watch the rooster. Guess what? He's not going to crow when there's a ray of light. He's going to make noises way before that. Way before that. Why? What is exactly the cheshbon of the rooster? I don't know. The rooster somehow has the cheshbon when it wants to kill, but it's not correct. It doesn't, it's not, his eyes are no more sensitive than our eyes to see rays of light, but supernatural rays of light. It sees the malachim. This is not Yadus. Yadus is real. If it's dark for me, it's dark for the rooster. That's the way we look at it. So what are you making noise, rooster? Because if I'm not going to make noise now, I'm not going to be ready to say brachas when for Vesikin. If you want to be able to say, you want to be able to say the Shemona Esher when the sun rises, well, you got to hustle in the middle of the night to put yourself in position. That's the rooster. The rooster is the hustler. He knows when to get up in order to be in position when you need to be in position. And that's exactly what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. When the rooster would crow, that's when the Kohanim mobilized. That's when that was the siren. Wake up! Everyone gets up. And they get in position, and they wait, and they wait, and they look out into the horizon. When will we see that ray of light? And when the Kohen sees the ray of light standing on a perch high up on top of the Mikdash, he gives out a scream, Bar Koi. And then the whole Avodas Hayoyim begins. But they're only in position because of the rooster that made noise an hour ago. And that's exactly what you do when you wake up. You're connecting yourself with that rooster in the Beis HaMikdash that was making noise in the middle of the night to get you ready so you can be there to be mavchin ben yom ben laila with the call of Baruch Hu. It's not that, we're not reading the words right. Asher nosan lasech vivina, it gave the sech the understanding, lehavchin ben yom ben laila. It's a little bit forced, what I was saying, but that's there's no other way. I don't, we have to even go back with more precision, but there's enormous depth in this. We have to clarify this in more detail, but the sechvi also means the heart, but we're playing with words here to awaken us to this principle. The sechvi means the rooster. The sechvi has vina, and the vina is the bina yisera, and the bina is, if I'm not going to get ready now, then I'm not going to be able to be there at that moment of transition between Yom and Laila when it's important to be there. All right, let's go on to the next idea. There's another very, very beautiful idea. I saw this in Rav David, one of the big original creative minds of our generation. You know, it's very hard to find people that you can say are creative, are original creative. And one of the greatest machats of our generation is Rav David Cohn here in Flatbush, Coney Island, the Rav of Gevul Yavetz. Rav David Cohn, besides being an incredible Baal Halacha, known Kol HaTorah Kula, he's also a machadish. He's also a creative thinker. And he has already, I think, 10 volumes on tefillah, 10 volumes called Masas Kapai. Masas Kapai, these are unreal. These volumes are they're just not to be believed. The stuff that's in there is not to be. Here's one volume. See Masas Kapai. Here's one volume on the screen. It's backwards, right? You see the letters backwards. Okay, Masas Kapai. This is Chelek Dalet. I have most of them. And he has amazing stuff on Tefillah. One of the things on Tefillah is why do we say not everything is you know, he cites a lot of things and he develops them, but many things are his own, totally gone. Why is everything in the negative in the Birchas HaShachar, the first three blessings? Shelo yosani God. Shelo yosani God. Shelo yosani. Why can't we be a little positive? Shosani Yisrael. Shosani. And once you say Shosani, you can't say three times Shaloi. There are three madregas. You didn't make me a guy, but you could have made me a slave. No, even that you didn't. But you could have made me an Isha. No, even that, you made me a man is chayv in all the mitzvahs. No excuses. There's no pitur of mitzvah aseh she'azman grama. Why do we have to say it in the negative? Let's make one beracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam she'asani Yisrael. Baruch atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam she'asani ben choirin, a free man, not a slave. Baruch atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam that you obligated me in all of the mitzvahs. No exceptions. Women are exempt. They're exempt from the mitzvah aseh she'hazman grama. They're exempt. You thank Hashem that I'm not exempt. And I thank you that you did not give me a deferment. Thank you that you've drafted me. Gius. Thank you that you've drafted me full, no exemption. Why do we have to write the nusach in the negative? Rav David Cohen says one line. I want to expand upon this. And I hope there's no one in the background listening, because what I'll say could be controversial, and it could be, I'm not thinking this through, and unfortunately, I'm afraid someone will take this the wrong way, but if you're taking it the wrong way, it means either I don't know what I'm talking about, or I'm not expressing the correct words. But if David Cohen's words are just very simple, he's not getting into controversy, he just is very posh, an incredible idea. when Hashem made man, Hashem said, Loi toiv heyois adam levad. And the primary focus, he's focusing on, I'm trying to expand upon what he said, but his main focus is the difference between a man and a woman. A man says, Sheloi osani isha, and a woman says, Sheosani kiritsoina. Now, there are many answers to this question, why it's like that. I always usually say over the lavush, but I already said that too many times, so I'm not going to repeat that. This is totally new to me. This is awesome. This is an entirely new idea. I never heard it before. And the idea is, when Hashem made man, there was no woman. Man was an alter bacher. He was a bacher. Couldn't find a shidduch. Adam HaRishon had a shidduch crisis. For real. For real. No one can come along and blame him. It was literally no women. Adam HaRishon was all alone. Not even one girl to date. Nothing. There were animals. He was looking. Maybe I should be mashadich with a giraffe, with an elephant, with a bat. And all the candidates he looked at, he gave them names, and he said, nope, this is not a shidduch for me. An elephant is not a good shidduch for me. Either it's a bat, either is a wolf, a lamb, a lion. All these, they're not shidduchim. I need a human being. But guess what? There are no human beings. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Adam, Adam, you're right. You are correct. Loi toy heyois Adam levad. The Ribbono Shel Olam had sympathy for man. And the way Hashem expressed his sympathy for man is in the negative. It's not good to be alone. It's not good. I don't think there's ever been a generation in modern times like this generation where people were alone. You know how many horror stories I'm reading about? Where I read this very moving story. This like they had in this week's Mishpacha. Now it's available online for free. So it's for free, you know. I'm a little cheapo. I went on when I started reading some of the things there, and one of the people who died, I forgot his name. We'll read about it. Young man, he was sick with corona. It was getting worse and worse and worse, and his condition reached its peak Friday night, just about as Shabbos was about to begin. And they saw that it's it. Adkan, they called Hatzalah. Hatzalah came and they said, you're going to the hospital. There's nothing to talk about. You have to pack up. So his wife asked him, what should we pack? My tefillin, it was Shabbos, but you know, he's going to the hospital. So it was said, this is the halacha. We can take whatever you need to take right now. Anyway, gone. And he said, I don't remember the details. Hatzalah said to the guy, you know what? Why don't you make Kiddush? It's no rush. We have to take you, but you know, before we go, make Kiddush. It's Friday night. Make Kiddush for your family. And he made Kiddush on the hospital bed they have in the ambulance, whatever they call it. He made Kiddush. The family came together. He made Kiddush. And then his son bent down like he does every night, and he put his hands on him and he blessed him. While he's on the bed, as Hatzalah is about to take him into the ambulance, and it was Hatzalah's idea. They're the ones who told him, you know, we can wait for the murder. We don't have to go the second. You know, what's the rush? Make Kiddush. He made Kiddush. He blessed his children like he does every Friday night. And then that was it. And they told his wife, You can't come. No one can come. No one's allowed to come. And that was the last time they saw him. And he was nifter a few days later. Loi toiv heyois adam levada. Is there a better example of what it means, loi toiv heyois adam levada, than this? I mean, what it means to be alone, the loneliness that he experienced, the loneliness of his family. People died alone. They were sick alone. We've experienced in this last 7 weeks what it means, loi toiv heyois adam levada, like never before. And when Hashem spoke to Adam, and Adam complained to Hashem, I'm all alone. Hashem said, you're right. You're right. You're all alone. Let me help you. Let me solve your problem. And what did Hashem do to solve the problem? He created a woman. Now, when the woman was created, was she alone? Did Hashem say about the Isha, Loi toiv heyois adam levado? No. She was the solution. She was the solution to Adam's. It's a historical event. It's not a matter of describing is it better to be a man or a woman? The way the world was created was Adam was alone. Adam was searching for a zivug. Adam complained to Hashem. Hashem said, "You're right." And Hashem created Chava. So when Adam looks back in his history, his origins, the day that he came into this world, it's built into his DNA that loneliness of Loitoiv Heyois Adam Levado. When Chava opened up her eyes for the very first moment, she was the solution to Loitoiv Heyois Adam Levado. She was the Ratzon of Hashem to mash them, to take away the loy toys. And Isha can't say that you didn't make me like this. Baruch Hashem, shaloy asani ish. Baruch Hashem, you didn't make me into a man. These arrogant, chauvinistic animals. A woman doesn't have to say, it's not a matter of shaloy. Chava's creation, she was toy because she was the solution. She was Hashem's creation to fill the void of loy toy. So she can't say the word shaloi. Adam, when he relates to his existence, he connects to that pain of loneliness. And the loneliness was expressed in the negative, that it's not good. Now, when you take that idea further, This is where I'm treading on dangerous, dangerous territory. It would then mean that when each of these three elements, this is very dangerous, so don't have time to listen because this may not be correct and it may not be true, but you have to delve deep into this. These three shalois represent loneliness. A goy, a non-Jew, is a very lonely creature. They have nothing. What do they have? Who do they have? What does a goy have? They have nothing. They don't have a life. They don't have any aspirations. They don't have a ribbonish. I don't mean that totally. That's selling a lakim. There are very good non-Jews. I don't mean it. You have to be very, very careful how we understand this, how you express this idea. But there is relative to us, to Klal Yisrael, aloneness. Klal Yisrael has a very unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An Eved, a slave, is a lonely person. It's just him and his master. He's just working. When you lack independence, you're lonely. Now, the most difficult of the three is to say this about an Isha. It's not necessarily true. What does it mean exactly? I don't know. I don't want to get into trouble, but an Adam, a man, you know, a man is part of the kifshua mandate. Okay, milu esar it's kruvu umilu es kifshua. It's the derech of a man to go to war. A man has weapons. A man is a conqueror. That's just the nature, the DNA. A man is an explorer. He's going out. In Isha, the Ikeres Habayis is the Isha. Now, this is incredible. And today, obviously, we live in a very complicated world. But relatively speaking, when a man is saying Shlo Yosani Isha, when he's saying all of these words, he is acknowledging that he, by nature, is more vulnerable to loneliness. He's more vulnerable. Because if we're saying Shaloi, we're taking you back to the original Shaloi. The original Shaloi is Shaloi Loi Toiv Hayois Adam Levad. The original low is expressed in terms of loneliness. If we are making three blessings every single day, what we are doing is that we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we got a problem. We are people that are vulnerable to loneliness. And the way we express from our perspective, when we look at other people, it's not that they're lonely. Go ask, Nashim are not lonely. They're very happy. They're not lonely. But we, as a man with our DNA, we don't, if we look at their role, we would say we're not happy with that role because we're different. Men are arrogant and they want to have, you know, flexibility. I don't hear of any women, you know, because there isn't a very funny, I have not heard in 7 weeks, I have not heard any women chalashing to have porch minyanim. Mark, can you explain that to me? How come only the men are desperately trying to break the law and break out and have minyanim, porch minyanim? How come we haven't heard the women of the wall? How come we have not heard them come forward and demand equal rights? They also want to break the law, violate all of the takonis of the rabbanim and have a woman's porch minyanim. Why not? The answer is
what? Don't we have that expression, the ladies, the Akara Habayis?
Ikeres Habayis.
Exactly.
So since we've not heard of this phenomenon all of this time, 7 weeks, and not even remotely, you don't hear of any women demanding equal rights. It goes to show that women, they're not as excited about this. It says a lot, no? It says something here. When we make this statement, a man is different than that. They're different. When we look at these three, when men look at these three entities, a goy, an eved, an isha, maybe for them it's good. But from where we stand, I wouldn't want to be in their position because for my DNA, the way my mind works, I would be very lonely. I would be lonely. I would need a shrink, be depressed. I want to say something that's not nice. And that's why we say Shaloi, Avdavikol. We're going back to Loi Toiv Heyois Adam Levada. Inisha is not a Loi Toiv. When she was created, she was Toiv. She was the Toiv. She was the Hashlama. So she can't say Shaloi Osani Ish, Shaloi Osani, whatever. She was the solution. She was the Toiv. Only a man felt that pain of being all alone. And a man, when we relate to that, we take examples of people, of parts of society that are beautiful and wonderful, but our DNA, from our limited perspective, when we look in these segments of society, I don't want to be a guy. What kind of life is it to be a guy? It's a lonely creature. What kind of, you don't have a relationship with anybody in Shalaylam. To be a slave, I can't go out and go and socialize. To be a woman, not have a porch minion? Come on! That's lonely to be locked up in the house. To be a type of a person that's satisfied and is happy to be a law-abiding citizen and to be in the house and follow the rules. Men like to make trouble. It's a different type of creature. And that's why we use the word shaloi, and we pick three different examples. And a woman doesn't have the problem, because when she was created, it was all in the positive. All right, there are more things, but unfortunately, I'm not going to get to that, because I want to move right. We have to go up and move ahead. So, mission next week, we're going to move ahead. We'll probably do Korbanos. Okay, we'll probably move ahead to the next section of Tefillah. The next section of Tefillah is Korbanos, and we'll pick up in Yirtzeh Hashem next week. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Rav. Thank you, Zagazant.
Thank you. Good night.
Have a good night, everybody. A good Shabbos. Thank you. See you in the morning in Yirtzeh Hashem. Hi, Lisa. I can't.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Can you explain why? Why,
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
You and your cousin.
Yeah.
Had things in mind today. You were like thinking alike. He spoke tonight. I listened to his Pirkei Avos shiur. He spoke about what's with Hillel. What's with Hillel? He wants to know what's with Hillel. So he takes Hillel. He goes to the Gemara. I think 66 in Pesachim, and he explains when he came, they ask him a question. They wanted to know the din of, he comes up from Bavel. They're ranking him out. You Babylonian, what did you learn from your teachers? What do we do with this Korban Pesach if it falls out on Shabbos? So he gives them an answer. He gives them a logical answer. You'll see the Gemara. And then they were a little bit upset with him. They don't want to hear his logic. They want to hear what he heard from Shmaya and Avtolan. So he's saying that that's what Hillel was. Hillel, and then he relates this to Hillel's Mishnah, Mi Ani Li, and that Mishnah says Hillel's godless was his creativity. And he joins together the Talmidim of Bavel with the Talmidim of Bnei Yisrael, and they appoint him right away the Nasi.
It's very interesting that he would say, you know, because he's a Soloveitchik, and the legacy of the Soloveitchik family is the Tata, is the Mesorah, the Mevatel themselves to the Mevatel their own creativity to the creativity. To the chidushim of the previous generation.
Okay, so that's what he said. That's what he does. That's what Hillel does. He backed, they
right.
Showed him, you know, there was something he forgot. In that same Gemara, Hillel forgot something. What do you do? Can we bring the knife? It's Erev Shabbos. It's Shabbos. How can we bring the knife? So he saw somebody walking with a knife in the sheep. He said, oh, that's what Shemaiah Avtolan. So he was humbled. So he's the synthesis of this creativity,
but
you have
Messiah.
To make sure that you're part of the cloud. You're not
very
on your
nice.
Own. So that's what you.
Of creativity.
Who's saying this Messiah. Now with the creativity?
Messiah and creativity.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Yeah, well, he can give it over to you better than I did, but that's.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you think so?
Okay, but it was nice. Brenda listens in with me. So I have to do that. It was very good.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And Rabbi Lezevnik gave his shir in Chavos Levavos, but I don't know what's going on. He's just reading it. Well, you
yeah.
have to fix your camera so we can see your face nicely. Well, always like, I don't know where. Either you're not sitting, you're long, I don't know.
No, I just don't have, I can't.
He's in California. What do you think of this way? You
know, the whole morning. Yesterday I flew in from California to give the shiur. So
the whole morning, all I saw was the bridge. I didn't see you.
That's it. It's the way the camera is. Sometimes I put the phone in my pocket so you can see my shirt. Anyhow, B'Tselem Elokim is 248 like Avraham. And Ramach Evaro.
Wow, that's Ganash at Son Elokim.
Mitz Elam Elokim is 248. That's my gematria. What could I say? I don't know.
Your gematria.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't see it anyplace, but Elam Elokim is 248.
But in your book.
So that's why Avram, God had to add the hey to his name. that's why, maybe that's why it's an Avera to say, why Dafka if you say Avram, when you're supposed to say Avram, it's an Avera, you're not allowed to say it, because it's Chaser a mensch. He's not Ramach Evar.
Wow.
Whatever. So, anyhow.
Very nice.
The sidelight.
Very nice.
Okay. Very good.
That's a have a good night. Have a good night.
Have a good night, Shkoyach. Be Matzliach.
Take care. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining me. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.